Well,
hey, Wayne.
Yes, I will. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode, I don't know, 10 or 11, maybe, whatever it is. I think it's 10.
I think it's 10, yeah.
Which is pretty darn amazing. Anyway, welcome to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I am Wayne Cavanaugh, and this
This young man, what young man? Will Alexander.
That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Tell him what he wants.
In person, Mr. Will. Anyway, we've got a bunch of stuff to go over this week, but I really want to thank you all for all the great comments and messages. I was at some shows this weekend, and a whole lot of people that I didn't expect would be listening are, and I'm really pleased and appreciate you spreading the word and getting that all out. But we got a lot to talk about, mostly because young William invaded America this weekend.
Yeah. Actually, when I was there, I was in Cincinnati for the English Setter Specialties and the two all breeds. But a lot of people commented on the podcast to me as well, how much they enjoyed it and whatnot. So it's great. It's
good. They're just waiting for you to get your judge's license, Will. That's all it is. Just being nice now.
And I transport to it. And I'll tell you, last week, Wayne, I actually signed an autograph too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because they saw the videos and listened to the podcast and, oh, can you sign this? I think I signed a receipt. I don't even know what I signed.
Probably someone's check.
I probably said Mark Messier. So
you probably bought a car or a house or something. Didn't even know it. Shine here, buddy. Well, I'm glad you came. And I know your major reason for coming down, and that's why you were here, was to transport dogs. But you stopped off at some shows, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. And how'd that go in Cincinnati?
Oh, I had a good time. It was great to see everybody. I showed the English Setter especially, and there was like 100 English Setters. It was
140-some, yeah.
Yeah, it was fabulous to see that.
Maybe that was the Buckeye. Were you at the Buckeye thing, the English Setter specialty?
It was the maturity and the futurity. I forget all. There was three different.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, it was three separate specialties, and there was some good quality there. It was fun to see. And the dogs were all showing really well. And I felt I hadn't shown in 9 months. So I felt like I had a water the first day. I thought I felt so uncoordinated. And so did the dogs. The dogs were looking at me like, what are you doing, Will? But we fumbled through. The next day it felt better. And then it felt better. And it felt better. And then all went well. So
yeah, kind of like Austin Matthews. Oh, I'm sorry, Will. I promised you I wouldn't bring up the Maple Leaf.
Fake laugh, hiding real pain.
Anyway, back to Cincinnati. Now, there were three specialties, right?
Thanks for coming out today, Wayne.
There were three specialties, right?
Yeah, three specialties.
And didn't three different dogs win? Or somebody repeat?
No, I think there was a repeat. Yeah.
But there was a bunch of English Setter shows down there and big entries. You know,
and
big
the two all breeds. And English Setter won Best in Show of the All Breeds as well, both days.
Yeah, so, yeah, I saw
it was
that.
A dominant English Setter weekend.
It was, and they all should be.
Yes.
Or Irish Setter or Beagle or Irish Wolfhound.
But it was great to see everybody. And the first day, we had so much rain. And it was rainy and cold the first day. So that was my introduction to back to dog shows. That wasn't helping me miss them. And then the next day, it was freezing. It didn't rain, but it went down to like 50. And it was pretty cold when you're out there showing up.
Wait a second. You're
don't throw the Canadian thing at me.
Were you up in the Conococobie Crab of Saga area? I know you got a lot of snow up there, Will. I know it's cold all the time.
Yeah, but when it gets cold up here, we go inside.
This is true.
I'll be saying, oh, it's cold. Oh, you're from Canada. You should be used to it.
Right.
I don't live outside.
They don't chain me the doghouse out there.
No,
they let me go inside and eat. Yeah, I know.
My igloo is heated.
I don't know what it's called now. Maybe something about the guard. It's New Jersey. It used to be our old Monmouth Plainfield Union weekend, which is so cool. We talked about it last week. Anyway, it's that cluster of shows now, the Jersey Shore or something. And it was 46 degrees, rainy, wind blowing sideways. And in fact, it was the first weekend that the boardwalks were open down there at the Jersey Shore. And they were expecting this, you know, the first time they've opened things up here with masks and stuff. And every restaurants and everything was going to be open for the first time in over a year. And they're expecting a giant weekend at the beaches and boardwalk. But 46 and raining sideways, nobody went.
Blown off the boardwalk. I did notice some. I stopped at a few on the way home. I stopped at obviously some service centers. There were signs out saying, you know, that they were, these were, if you had both shots, you were allowed to enter without a mask. There was a lot of that going on. So I kept my mask on for now. I've just because, you know, I wasn't holding the place up, but
yeah. And really, you don't, you know, if you pretty much, I'm not going to go there. Never mind. Anyway.
But it's no big deal to wear the mask, and you know what it is?
No, it's not.
You don't have to shave. So.
Well, and you don't have to brush your teeth as often. You should.
Well,
I'm
not going to say that.
You want to keep. You know, don't forget, floss all the teeth you want to keep. But if you're in a hurry, you can give a quick one because you're going to put that mask right back on. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. I want to get one of those masks. You've seen the masks, though, that have the Hannibal Lecter mask on them?
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind getting that.
I think that would be a good thing. Be a good look for you.
Oh, getting a little off topic.
Yeah. Well,
how was your weekend? You were judging something.
I did. We had some big shows up here.
It was Kalamazoo, wasn't it?
Kalamazoo, yeah. And, you know, 1,500 dogs. And I know that doesn't sound like much in 1970s terms, but these days, and Spartanburg had big entries too. There's a couple of 300 entry shows this weekend and a bunch of 800s, but overall there was a couple clusters or circuits, whatever you call them, that had a 1,000 or more. And I know Spartanburg had a good entry. I think it was Spartanburg. And here in Kalamazoo, you know, 1,500 dogs.
Yeah.
But eerily enough, with that big of an entry, it still looked empty. Because no one comes, you know, spectators.
Right. Yeah. And that was always a busy place for spectators.
Yeah.
I love going to those shows.
Oh, they're great shows. And it was easy for me. You know, I just buzzed over him. Jim Fancaster did a great job with his little, and other people, whoever put those Clumber shows together. There was a bunch of specialties for them. So we had some good quality. And some good dogs came in. And overall, it was just, that's an indoor. There's indoor rings where I judge, which was lovely. But there was some cold days in the beginning of the week, and then it got nicer as the week went on. Today it was hot here, and yesterday as well.
Showed in barns. It was barns. They got like beagles were in the beef barn, It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I remember when I was showing the Blue England Center bitch. Do you remember Max Magder?
Yeah, absolutely.
Max was judging Best of Show, and then we were up in Thunder Bay. And it was the same idea. It was a fairgrounds, and there was all these different barns. And he's judging Best of Show, and he gives the English Setter bitch, I'm showing Best of Show. And he, as we're getting the picture taken, he said, we have to get this picture fast, William, because there was an overload in the tomato barn. I've got to go judge tomatoes.
Well, I just did a show like that in Virginia. I think it was Virginia, Maryland, somewhere, a couple months ago. And it was a bunch of different little barns. Those are fun shows. They're kind of homey.
Oh, you know? For sure, yeah.
And the Far Circuit, you know, those shows in, where the hell was I? Tallahassee? That's annoying because there's like 15 buildings and there's one or two rings in each one. See, it's, if you know where you're going, it's great. But if you arrive a little late and have to get to your ring and see the rep, you better know which building you're going to, darn it.
Even here, there was about, I don't know, four or five different barns that we had to run to. And I was looking for, I ran to all the barns, and finally I asked somebody, where are terriers being judged? And they said, over there in the chicken barn, you know.
And off you went. Off you went. I had a great time at those Tallahassee shows. Yeah. You know, you can have a great time anywhere you go, even if the weather's crappy, because there's so many good people. And Greg McCarthy, it was one of his first, I don't know if it was first, but one of his early jobs. He and Mike Save were the reps, which was fun. And
good.
Got to have a chat, and they said hello. And we had a really nice time. It was always has been a good club. They've always done a lot of extra stuff. You know, the vet clinics, the special classes. They've been doing that way before it was cool. And the facility gets nicer every year. You know, they added
that's
on
a great facility. I think I judged there for you at one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. In the new building. Yeah.
It's a great facility. I'm happy for Greg. I think he's going to do a great job as a.
Well, I know he is. Yeah.
He's just one of those kind of guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot to learn all those rules, but there's so many of them. But, I had a, well, I don't know who's listening. So, but let's just say a good steward is very important to have.
Oh, there's no question.
And I think I've learned over the years that as a judge, it becomes sort of your responsibility to make sure that those duties are being done correctly and to make things run smoothly for the exhibitors, so to chase them around later. But yeah, it's a good show.
I had to do a lot of stewarding to do my judge's application up here in Canada, and I got quite adept at it. I really quite enjoyed it. But I found myself I'd lean over as they were. Some judges that check the box before they handle the ribbon, and I'm like, "Are you sure you want to do that?" Oh, far be it for me to tell you your job, but you know.
I forget who it was. It might have been Jimmy Mitchell who judged the sweeps before I did this weekend. It might have been Jimmy. It was a bunch of us standing around. Anyway, it was years ago, and someone came up with the idea that we should carry referee flags, like football referee flags. Mm-hmm. A green, a yellow, and a red. And if you can see the judge just about to make a mistake, you throw that yellow right in the ring. Warning. Yellow is a warning flag. You just throw all your yellows in the ring to make the judge stop and think, well, maybe I'm going the wrong way here. And if he's on to the right dogs, everybody throws the green ribbons in. And if he's really going to screw it up, you shower them with the red flag. You just throw those red flags in, out of your power right in. It probably wouldn't go over real big politically, but it would make everyone would know. And everyone knows.
Do you remember John Glover?
Of course, yeah.
Great guy. We were sitting outside of the ring one day. One of his ex-clients was judging, and he wasn't showing. He was just sitting there. And he was wandering around the ring. He wasn't lost, but he gave us the perception in our little comic relief world sitting at ringside, he was lost.
Yeah.
So Johnny calls his cell phone. And you can see him looking around, and you see his cell phone ringing on the desk, and pick it up. He just shut it off, but if he picked it up, it would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, it sure would have been.
Go ahead.
I just found a picture. It's hardly perceptible. It's so faded and worn out, and it wasn't any historical event anyway. But I was a young kid, and I was showing an English setter, and it was a real good one my dad bred. And it was a class dog. And it was Atlantic City shows when they were big before. It was Philadelphia, Atlantic City. And Ed Dixon was judging. Do you remember Ed Dixon? Wasn't he Canadian?
Of course I do, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the president of the CKC for a while.
Was he really?
Yep.
What a character. Anyway.
He was a character.
He's going over my – I was working – well, I can tell you that I was a freshman in college, and I was working at a grooming shop. Right there in Atlantic City, because I was going to school at Stockton and living on the island, and Brigantine. And this the guy that I worked for was friends with him somehow. So I know they had chatted before. So I walk in there in single setter, and I'm going over it. And I've never met this guy, seen this guy in my life. And he goes, "This must be the dog that your boss from the grooming shop tells you I should give Winner's dog to, because he gave me your armband number. But don't worry about it. He's way the best anyway."
That sounds like Ed. But I'll tell you, like Ed was a character, and he used to get himself in trouble because, you know, he had his favorites and whatnot. Yeah. But he was a good dog, man. He was one of those guys I would let him buy me a dog. He was that,
absolutely.
That smart.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, absolutely. No, he was, you know, he clear. And then afterwards he said, "I'm not kidding. That actually happened." He said, "But clearly you walked in the ring. It was over. No one had to tell me anything."
Yeah.
And the dog finished and did really. And then he went out with, Dorothy. I sold him the Dorothy Reader for, I'm going to forget the guy that showed for Dick Becker.
Oh, yeah, Dick Becker. Growing up, he was one of my favorite handlers.
Oh, great. Yeah, he did a good job with the dog, too. He did a real good job with the dog. But, yeah, those were good times. Anyway, we had, you know, we were talking about it earlier. The reason we have such a good time at these shows are indeed our old friends and the new people. And things have changed. And I think it's time we give a little shout out to the old world of respect, and maybe you can talk to that a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hate to say it, but anyway, I was witness to an episode this weekend of an assistant, a very talented assistant, but they were talking a little too harshly to their employer in my vicinity, And it struck me as odd. And this assistant is very talented. They're going to have a great career ahead of them.
Yeah.
But I do think that the respect level has to be turned up a little bit. Yeah. You know, it's, you can be rushed and you can be, you know, take ownership of the dogs you're in charge of, but you still have to show respect, especially to your employer, you know. Yeah. Any elders, I couldn't imagine myself ever going off on one of my bosses. Bobby Stebbins would have crushed my head.
Like a bug.
You said what?
And in general, too, you know, if you want to have that conversation, you don't do it in front of people.
Right.
You know, you don't do it. It's belittling and it's untowards. When say a family's walking by, and I always try to keep this in my head. Say it's a family walking by, it's never been to a dog show. And they hear two people screaming at each other, and they don't know that doesn't matter what the association is. There's no need for it.
It wasn't actually any screaming. It was just sort of a tear down. Like,
yeah,
they weren't doing their job, you know? Well, yeah. You're the employee. Yeah. It just struck me as odd, and I felt a little uncomfortable about it. And I actually spoke to another handler friend of mine, and he said it's been a bit of an ongoing issue and needs to be taken care of. And I really hope not. And it could have been an in the moment thing for all I know, but I just know I would never have let that happen to myself as an assistant, or as if one of my assistants talk to me like that, it just wouldn't happen, you know.
Yeah, be gone. Well, you know, we grew up, you know, we sound like the 300-year-old men, but when you apprentice,
you're 300, I'm 200.
It was, you know, we did pick up a lot of poop before we got to show a dog that could win a point.
Oh, for sure.
And now assistants get to go with best in show winners all the time. And I guess it's going to happen when you have a big string and the dog show is small. And, you know, you get four or five that can place in a group, even with a small string, because who can't? It seems like who can't win a best in show these days? But, they're going to get in there, and that's fine. And they're talented kids. And I think, and maybe it's just, you know, immaturity, but you come out of juniors, you get these good gigs with these handlers, and you're showing a real good dog probably before you have the talent. There's no doubt these kids are talented. But before they earn their stripes, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, that's human nature, get a little ego going at that age.
For sure.
But it applies to all ages, right? Well, I mean, we see it. Not just kids. Certainly not just kids.
I wrote an article called Famous for 15 Minutes. And it was about I had great assistants over the years, like great assistants. And because of where I showed, I often had multiple dogs in best in show. So that's why I had the best assistants I could possibly get, because in order to keep the clients happy, these dogs had to stay competitive in the best in show ring even if I wasn't showing them. Yeah. So quite often my assistant would win best in show.
That's what you want.
Boy, that's what I want. Because, you know, takes the pressure off me a little bit because I told you they could win it. But but again, it fills their ego a little bit and they start, you know, pumping themselves up a bit. And that's when I sat down at dinner one time. I told them, well, that's famous for 15 minutes because you got to show my dog for 15 minutes and you won. But that was my dog. I grew that dog. I trained that dog. I show that dog.
Yeah.
Chances are that the woman that, the judge that handed you the ribbon knew it was my dog, but you were showing it. So you were famous for 15 minutes, just like Andy Warhol said.
That's right. Everybody gets their chance for 15 minutes.
Gosh. Not to take anything away from them, but every once in a while I had to not knock them down, but just tell them the way it was, you know, and they were mostly good about it. And we had some playful little arguments about it sometimes, but it was all in fun.
Yeah, I remember I beat Janie once or twice, not often, and it never was good.
No, I can't imagine.
Do not do that. You tried too hard. I didn't try. I really didn't, Janie. Just, you know, I think sometimes I just rattle her cage by putting up one of the kids over, you know.
Oh, of course they do. I find that when I was showing all the time, they would do that to me all the time.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, get a reaction out of me. And also, I also found that if I was showing, I won't say a lesser dog, but a not a best in show winner and trying to attain his championship, they would be harder on me. And if I sent that dog in with my assistant, they were more forgiving with the assistant.
Yeah, sure.
Would win more than I would with that dog. Yeah. Yeah. I would try to explain that to the client. They, well, we want you to show the dog. I'm telling you, this is the best route to go today. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
You're right. And some judges will, and certainly not me, but I've seen it done a million times, where I have no problem giving the same owner or handler or whoever. Winner's dog, winner's bitch, best of breed, best of fought, and whatever else. If they're the best dogs, that's the way it goes. Yep. But you know, there are some judges who are thinking, he's coming back with a special. You know, I know he's got this famous special. He'll be back in the ring in 5 minutes. So, do I want to give him winner's dog too? Well, yeah, if it's the best dog, you absolutely want to give him winner's dog. Exactly. But if his assistant's in there, it makes it easier because it's not quite putting up.
I won't say the judge's name. I was walking back after the sporting group towards the photo booth that I think I had placed the dog I was showing. And I hadn't seen this judge in a long time. It was from Australia. And he apologized for not giving me the group. He said, but I always give you the group when I come here. So I said, their name. Yeah, well, you did give me the group. That was my dog you gave. Just my assistant was showing it.
But thank you. Thank you very much. You know, we used to have, our pin brushes. Everything said Forsyth on it,
yep.
You know, the back of the pin brush. It didn't matter if it was a soft brush or a pin brush. You're showing a min pin, and the closest was a pin brush. You grabbed it, and you put it down, name up. Pins down right in front under the dog's head. So when the judge came up, it must be one of the assistants.
My old assistant, Colin, who's not assistant anymore, he had a brush. It says Alexander. He scratched it out and put Colin. But you can still see really? Alexander. I tried to steal it back.
That's great. That's beautiful. So did you show anything else about the English Setter?
I showed the Beagle as well. Yeah.
Well, how'd he do?
He got a group two and a group four.
Very good.
He showed pretty well. The first day, again, he was a little, what's going on? And when he has a tendency, he used to do it when I showed him more. When I put any kind of pressure on him, push him, he'd sort of shuffle a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and wouldn't. And that first day, he was like that completely.
Yeah.
Second day, he was so much better. And he felt really good the second day. So I was really happy with him.
Well, on the day that he only went fourth, was it because his tail wasn't dry, Will?
It was dry.
It was dry, and he's still only
dry. It was perfectly dry.
No. Could have been something. It could have been a wet hair way down there. You don't know.
Maybe.
Could have been. There was a good tail feeling judge. Speaking of that, I watched some judges this weekend. How much do you really think you need to give a deep body massage to a good size, medium or tall sporting dog with no hair? Do you really think you need to feel every, we know where the bones are, and I don't mind finding them. And sometimes I'll do it on purpose to show you exactly what I'm thinking, but to give them this three-time deep body massage, I mean, come on. To be truthful, if you walk into a class of Wieslers or Pointers or Weimaraners or something like that, if you can stand 20 feet back and look at their profile and see them go around, you pretty much...
Yeah, have them turn the mouth to you and you're done, you know?
Yeah, you don't need to give them...
Stanford style.
Right.
you barely touch them.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Oh, my God.
Henry wasn't doing any deep... Yeah, Henry Stecker didn't do any deep body massages.
No. Well, I think skipped, opened the mouth, touched the chest, touched the elbow, touched the tail set, the testicles, if they had testicles... Way we go.
Now, if you have hair, you got to be able to see through that. And you obviously have to touch them to figure out, coat texture, even a short one, and if they're a bunch of jelly or not. But even that you can see when they move.
Oh, for sure.
The conditioning. And Clumbers is fun. I watch some people pick up the skin. If they move and the skin is rolling, find a spot and you watch it. You know they got the right kind of suppleness and that amount of skin, but you don't have to jack it up, swing it through a tree or something. But it can be done.
I remember showing at this Lakeland Terrier bitch, I was showing, and this gentleman was judging from Sweden. I can't remember his name. And I was in Best in Show, and he's going over her, and he went down and he listened as he crinkled her top coat in his tunic.
Did he really?
Yeah. I wanted to go.
it funny. Just a little sound effects. Yeah. Would have been nice. Well, it's kind of fun on springers and things to just, you know, flick your thumb and finger. Annie used to do it a lot, but I like doing it, especially to certain hounds on certain dogs, just to make them think I found something that they did wrong when they were trimming.
Yeah, what you have to do is you have to do it and then look up at them and go,
right.
Raise an eyebrow at them, then go back to about your business.
You're out of here. No way you're going to pass off breeding stock like this with a crooked hair to me.
That's
no
right.
No way, young man.
What if it produces this?
Yeah. And you know, another thing I picked up this weekend, and the whippersnappers are going to think this is just because we're so damn old, Will. But, you know, we used to actually show 75 dogs on the Bluebird for Forsythe in a day with wide whites, narrow whites, wide browns, narrow browns, wide blacks, narrow blacks. Those are Resco leads, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. They come in two widths, three colors. That's all we had. And they
they're hard to find now, though.
Janie says I stole a couple of hers. I don't believe so. One might, you know, maybe one or two, but I still do have them. And the clasps rust. Sometimes you got to keep those supple.
Yeah.
But I keep them as kind of a museum piece now. The old ones that were, you know, standing up on their own. Yeah. Yep. They were awesome.
I showed the English Setter on one the first day, actually.
Did you really?
Because I felt the ring wasn't big enough. So I wanted a little more control, a little more direction. Yeah. He hadn't been showing for a while. And yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, there's 4,500. You're in the whippersnapper category in the leech and collar generation.
I like being in the whippers.
You use all those fancy chains under their ear. You put them through their nose, do you, Will? Is that how it works?
No, but I don't have any bling. I don't have any bling.
But you weave them through the nostril. Is that how you get them coming out the ear like that? How do you do that?
Don't give it. It's a different head carriage approach. I find Rescos and Martingales are a directional for dogs. Then when dogs learn to show themselves, you can drop the lead a bit, but still you want to keep it clean up behind the neck and so on.
Because there are a lot of judges that just can't figure out tail carriage without your fancy ass leashes, I guess.
And it's fancy, so you know.
It looks damn good, William. I know is you got to move like many people can't even think of. So you must be doing something right with all that jewelry in your tack box. So now you're going to, you're hitting, well, you have shows in the future. There's a young man in Maryland who wants to come watch you judge your Irish Setter specialty.
I know your son Brody contacted me already.
Did he really? Good for him.
Yep.
I'll tell you, Brody's really, he's got a great eye. I mean, scary good eye. But he loves watching good judges judge good dogs. I thought I was going to be down there with you. I'm judging in Grays Lake that day.
Oh.
So I will miss you. It's the very next day, but I won't have
call
time
me.
Down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely will. While you're judging, because how the hell are we going to do this?
I'll put you on speakerphone.
FaceTime. Just go, okay, well, I'm looking at this one. What do you think of this one? Then I can look. Actually, I can be in the ring judging labs or whatever, and we can do the back and forth thing. Oh, and we'll Zoom judge. That's what we'll do. We'll Zoom judge.
Well, I always used to have this scenario that I was an older judge and in my years judging. And when I wasn't quite together, I would have the earpiece like the Secret Service. And my other half would be out there checking things out. And I would say, she would say to me, put up the Springer, you idiot. And I'd say, put up the Springer, you idiot.
You're at the garden. They give you the microphone to give that speech you have to give now that you never used to have to give, but now you have to give one. And that'd be great. Put up, ladies and gentlemen, at the 110,000th Westminster Kennel Club, put up the Springer, you idiot. That'd be
great. That'll be me.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you start judging soon so you can judge for that long where you get to that point.
I also have this scenario where it's a huge ring. I'm 101 years old, and I go out and I make my decision, and I shuffle all the way back like Tim Conway to the judge's table, mark down who I'm putting up, grab the ribbon, shuffle back out in the center of the ring, and forget who I marked down and have to shuffle all the way back and look again.
I think they've made a mistake with these judges' books for Best in Show. I think that they should just have 7 blank spaces with the armband number. And the judges got to write in the breed themselves and spell it right and get it right. Because I'll bet sometimes they think they're putting up the Pharaoh and they're putting up the Ibiza or they're putting up the whatever and they think
Wouldn't that be funny? I remember being in a cut of sporting dogs and the judge said, the American Cocker. Well, there was no American Cocker out there. I was the only Spaniel with the Springer, so I took it.
Absolutely. The American, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. By the way, you know, talking about competitive things and things that you, I heard this rumor, Will, and I'm pretty sure it was just a rumor, but it was about, we haven't mentioned this guy in a couple of weeks. We try to get him in every week. We also didn't mention this show yet. Miss P went Best in Show at Westminster, so I just got that one in there. Now we got to follow up with the other one, which is a friend of ours who had a dream about you. Well, I believe he
had a dream. My very good friend, Doug Belter, called me the other day and said he had a dream. Dream about him and I discussing something at a table. And we were discussing our cholesterol levels. And he was happy because his was higher than mine, so he thought he won.
Of course. That's how he told me the story, too, this weekend. And he said, and I beat him again. I won. I beat him.
And then we were talking. I said, can you imagine that we're sitting at a table and we're discussing our cholesterol levels? 20 years ago, we weren't discussing our cholesterol levels.
No. We weren't. We couldn't even, you know, not even close.
But maybe we put in the wire fox terrier's legs, but not.
Well, I do. You know, we have a group here of guys and, you know, men and women who get together from time to time, and we're all the same about ilk. And we made it real clear. One of the first 2 times we got together, we're not allowed to mention pills and illnesses. You know, oh, my knee! I gotta get a knee replacement. No, you need to live in Florida at one of the, you know, Friendship Village before you can do that. And there should even be rules down there. There should even be rules.
Well, I'll tell you, I had my hip replaced about 2 years ago. And that's the best thing I ever did.
Well, it's true.
My life came back to me.
Yeah. No, really. It's me and my brother had both done. And man, he was in a horrible, horrible car crash. He was in the hospital for over a year. But and afterwards, finally, just from everything else getting misaligned and crooked and broken, he finally got a couple of hips and he's bionic man. Bionic man. So he has that going for him, Will. And I think that maybe in the future, I've got some knees coming.
Oh, geez. I think knees are harder to rehab than the hips, apparently.
Yeah. Well, there's the low knee. And my daughter's, you know, went to school for this. There's a low knee and a middle knee and a high knee. And I think sometimes you got to get your...
You said high knee.
I just wanted to make sure that people didn't think we're old. We still are 6th graders at heart.
That's sad, isn't it?
It's sad. I went to see Steve Martin when I was probably 10 years old, and he said something about, he goes, I've been traveling around. I've seen London. I've seen France. I've seen someone's underpants. Well, when you're 10 years old, that's it. You're done for the weekend. I just was rolling over on the floor. My father was like, okay, it wasn't that funny. You can get back up in that chair. And I was like, no, that was hysterical. He's underpants.
Well, I'll tell you one thing my dad used to always say to me. You know how dogs, male dogs, lick themselves, right?
Oh, yeah.
No offense, anyway. But dogs lick themselves. He'd say, don't you wish you could do that? And I'd say, no, of course not. And his response was always, what, you think he'd bite you? Isn't that awful?
That's awful.
There you go, Ernie. Where's the hope the drum got thrown in there? Think he'd bite you?
Do you know why dogs lick themselves, Will?
Why is that? Because they can.
That's right. All right. We turn it.
All right. Where is this going?
It's going down the toilet quick this week. Jeez.
Put on some music, Ernie. Get us through this.
Hey, we've got some shows coming up, a bunch of shows coming up. This week, geez, it's coming up quick. We've got the Garden in a couple weeks.
It's Westminster because it's not at the Garden anymore.
That's true. You're absolutely right. We got the Tarrytown. We got the, what's the name of the castle? we get the Tarrytown Castle. Oh, come on.
The Westchester show site.
yeah. We got the old Westchester. That show coming up and the specialties. Boy, they've done a great job. And I think Nine is superintending, I'm pretty sure, a bunch of these specialties in Connecticut. So that'll be fun. And
she was a secretary in Cincinnati.
Oh, good. Good. Well, it's a good group up there. We're looking forward to it. And if the English Setters entry stays high, they've been at these other specialties, I'll be there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing short hair sweeps or something, too, while I'm there. And then right to Kenny shows just a couple days after. You'll be down doing the Irish Setter specialty, which I can't wait to see how you do there. And again, you know, there's 40 seminars at that Grace Lake.
What up the Irish Setter, you idiot?
Not that one, the red one. So we'll be doing, there's 40 seminars at those, I think they call it the Windy City Cluster. And it's Scott File and Jamie. They're just doing such a great job. And I hate to just mention Scott, Jamie, and Ken, because there's a lot of people who put a lot of work into those shows. Virginia, of course. But 10 shows, 40 seminars. And these are good seminars. Unfortunately, I'll be out in New York during a couple of the ones I really wanted to go to. But you probably do this. Well, I'm taking seminars in breeds I have no interest in ever judging.
Really? Well, I need to take a seminar. Apparently, I forgot to tell you. I put my application back in for the CKC for a judging application, and I got it back because I didn't have enough experience. I have to add a few things to it. So, and one is I've got to attend a seminar. Or a dental visit or something. And I said, I think I've given a few seminars. Does that count?
No, it doesn't count. Seminars. That doesn't count. You know, and really, in with all due respect, the people that process these aren't
exactly
people. And I'm sure they're doing their job and doing it well, but it is kind of, it's still.
Well, and it's, I was vague apparently on my application, and she didn't know me at all from Adam. Right. And if she knew Adam, she'd know me because, you know, I'm just kidding. Right. But, So I when I first read it, not enough experience, but then, you know, you start to settle down and you think, oh yeah, I that was my fault. I probably should have filled in all the boxes.
Yeah. But, you probably just shouldn't have scrawled William Alexander across the application. On an angle and mailed it in. Well, that probably wasn't your best.
Yeah. Aubrey Judge. Well, sooner, Aubrey Judge. So and so, male prostitute.
Empresarial logistics, damn it. And I've been to Ireland with Kavanaugh, too.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll look forward to you being in the ring and pointing, and I think you'll do fun. You'll have a great time.
Well, I know. I'm looking very much forward to judging dogs.
It depends on the breed in the year. And sometimes you get to do a specialty in a year where there aren't any good ones. You are hitting some fertile ground in Irish Setters.
Oh, I can't wait.
Nice. It's in English Setters, too. Yeah. I mean, English Setters may be as good as any of the Setters at this point. There's a lot of good ones. And that makes it so much more fun. And
maybe you'll find that. It's going to be on AKC TV.
It will?
Yeah, I just saw that. It was a post. Oh,
man.
Show scene put up here, put it on post that it was going to be at AKC TV. So, yeah, so I better not mess up.
We can sit around and watch it. And you know what we'll do? All the good judges will go to dinner together at the Windy City Cluster, and we'll demand that the restaurant lets us feed into the big screen. We'll judge the Irish Setters.
Exactly.
And and maybe you should put the earpiece in, Will, because we're going to have a lot of good people sitting around.
That'd be fun, yeah. Talk to whoever. Who's there with you, Wayne? I can talk away. Look, the crowd would be like, oh, look, he's talking to himself out there.
you'll have a good time. You really will. Oh, it's long overdue. And I'm glad the AKC is doing this, making exceptions at these specialties. I know Annette Didler's got one coming up in Beagles, and it's fun to see some of those clubs being able to do that. What a great resource. You know, if you're putting on a specialty and you get the same old people year after year, how refreshing you can get someone that has experience in the breed.
Oh, yeah.
Your specialty, They don't need a judge's license to know one breed if you got a good steward, and you don't need all the rules and, you know, all the tests.
My dear friend Tom Curley just did the Pekingese Club last week.
Oh, really?
Nationally. Cool. Yeah, so, yeah, that was an honor. He's been huge in Pekingese for years, and he's won many nationals, and he was top dog all breed in Canada with Pekingese, and I think it was nice to see that he got to judge the national, especially. I know he was excited about it, so.
Absolutely, they should be. Yes, they should be. Well, we've got a lot of good stuff going on. Come next couple weeks, dog shows are opening up. It's getting exciting. Some shows, no masks. I went to a show this weekend with my little form that I got in the mail, filled it all out, got there, and didn't need them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the rules change so dramatically. But, it's nice. The outdoor shows are kind of fun, too. And, you know, a little less worry about such things and all that good stuff. But
yeah,
we'll see. Well, good luck down there.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you'll have fun. And
we're still going to keep up with the show. Like, the show is still going to go on even when we're down there.
Tuesday is Tuesday, damn it.
Yeah.
This gets done. This is our, we stopped judging to do this podcast for y'all because we've got pretty much nothing better to do.
We're going to have a special New York, New York edition next week.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So you're going Garden, Irish Setter Specialty. I'm going, we shouldn't say Garden. Tarrytown, Irish Setter Specialty, Maryland. And then I'm going to Illinois. And then after that, I don't know where I go. But at the end of the day, any Tuesday, doesn't matter if we're on the plane, we'll make the plane stop. Whatever we got to do for Tuesday.
As long as you get a Wi-Fi signal, we're doing it.
That's right. We're going to do this, folks, because we're having fun doing it. And I hope you're enjoying it. I did want to mention that we had a pivotal moment in our life this past weekend. My young little man, Brody, who's actually, I think, twice as tall as I am. I'm almost certain. He got married this weekend.
I'm going to break this to you, Wayne. We told them last week about Brody getting married.
Yeah, well, I want to tell them again because I forgot the whole damn thing happened.
I spoke to Brody and I asked him, how does it feel being married? He said, well, his wife now wants her own pointer. So he said, that's an upside.
That's an upside. That's a good thing. But anyway, what I was getting to is they didn't have a lot. They're both finishing up their masters. I think Margaret's already finished and they're working full time. So they can't get away. So they went to this little resort and they rented a yurt. You know what a yurt is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And now these yurts are luxury,
plaza
yurts. But it looks so beautiful. All these trails and hiking and big bonfires and stuff. And
that'd be fun.
I think when all this rush is done here in our world, I closed on another lot today. 16 minutes to close. Ran over, closed, ran back. So we got
I'll come down. We'll put a yurt on it. We'll hang out before you build on it.
There you go. That'd be fun. Yeah. But when all this family and world stuff calms down, I'd love to take a little vacation like that and not go where we usually go, not to go to a fancy resort.
Maybe next year at the Beagle National, we should rent the Kavanaugh Pub like we've always said we're going
to
do.
No, that's right. We should rent those. Well, staying in the cabins at Aldi isn't as all it's cracked up to be, but it is a beautiful sight.
But remember those blow-up pubs we saw?
Yeah.
Our grooming setup for our Beagles. I think that'd be
and fun. I still have all the paraphernalia from Kavanaugh's Pub, all there the signs I had made, all the mugs and the plaques and the proprietor and all that stuff.
And I sent you some signs from the real Kavanaugh Pub in Long Island. It's Irish need not apply.
Oh, those signs were real.
Oh, I know. I know.
When my dad came over, they were.
Yeah, my dad told me stories like that as well, even in Canada. So
yeah, amazing. Anyway, young William, it's almost past my bedtime.
All right.
And I think we've gotten down the road about 60 miles. Anything else you'd like to words of wisdom you'd like to leave us with this week?
That's all. No. Words of wisdom. We've already used keep your pecker up. We've always used don't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
What else could we use?
Well, I talked to my brother Brian, my wonderful brother Brian, who I adore, this week, and he said. He said his new best philosopher is Popeye. And because Popeye's quote was, "I am what I am, and I ain't what I ain't."
Yep, and I fight to the finish because I eat me spinach.
That's right. So there's your wisdom for the week. We've done it again. Thank you, everybody.
All right, guys.
Good night, Will. Enjoy.
You as well, Wayne. Party on.
Party on. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Party on, Bert.
I'm born. No way.
Way.
Down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered glass.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Can't hold me back from where I need to go.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.